Luke chapter 2, we'll just begin reading in verse 1, and we'll stop in verse number 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse number 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice that last phrase of verse number 7. It says, because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no place to stay that night except for this manger area, this barn, if you will. There was no room in the inn. There was no extra space in the any other place in town because of the census that was taking place, and people from all of the known world were traveling there and coming in and doing what they were required to do. That's not really the message of the hour, but I kept thinking about that statement, no room, no room, no room. There was no room for the King of Kings on his birth night. There was no room for the Lord of Lords on his birth night. He had a humble beginning. While he did not, in the manger, he didn't begin there. But humanly speaking, it was his beginning. Very humble. And as we fast forward, and 33 years later, he would have a humble exit as well. Again, physically speaking, as he dies on the old rugged cross. And he gives up his life. He doesn't have it taken from him. He surrenders it. He willingly laid it down that we might have eternal life. But coming back to verse number 7 in Luke chapter 2, it says that there was no room in the inn. I'd like to just ask us this question this evening. Have you any room? Have you any room? As I thought about this, there was no place for the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet someday he would say to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We talked about it this morning a little bit in John chapter 14 and verse number 3. Jesus said that, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He had nowhere to lay his head, and yet he was going to prepare a place for everyone who would come to him by way of the cross that we sang about earlier. When you think of no room, another two words come to mind for me, and that is too crowded. Too crowded. There was no space. I don't know what it's like in these last couple of years, but I remember riding home a few times on the SkyTrain, mainly after a sporting event from downtown. And when you get on the SkyTrain after maybe a hockey game or whatever that's going on, a big event or something like that, and you go over to the SkyTrain, normally, if you don't leave a little bit before the game is out, you wait till the last second, which I normally like to do, but you know, when I was younger, I did anyway, but as I get a little bit older, I want to leave early because I want to beat the rush. Because what happens when you get to the SkyTrain, if you wait till everybody else goes, is a lot of times that first one comes, or if you get to the right one, it's too crowded. And you see that thing open up. Again, I don't know what it's like now, but you see that door open up, and it's you're just like a wall of people. And you say, no room in there. Or maybe if you're really brave, you in the past maybe would have just said, oh, I'm going in, I just. But that's what it means. It's too crowded. There's no room. And you know, that's still happening in 2021. It was just a simple birth. It was just a virgin. It was just Mary. It was just Joseph. And, you know, it was just a little baby. And but there was no room for this baby named Jesus who would be born to save his people from their sins. I wonder tonight, who has no room for Jesus? Just go with me to a few places in the Word of God, please. Go to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. I ask you this evening, have you any room? Have you any room? Go to Mark chapter 8, please. And we find here in Mark chapter number 8, we find the first example of someone who has no room. And I'm not talking about in their house, I'm talking about in their heart. Bible says in Mark chapter number 8 and verse number 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the," check it out, "the whole world?" What profit is there in gaining the whole world and losing what? The soul. The first person I think tonight that has no room for Jesus is the material man. The material man. The temporal man, the one that is just striving for to get all that he can all he gets. Enough is never enough, or more is never enough. There's no time for Jesus for that person, because why? He's got to gain the whole world. He or she has to get to the next promotion. He or she has to get to the next advancement. He or she has to strive to climb the ladder of success. And tonight, I'm the first one to say that we need to be people that work hard. But there's one thing that we're working hard for the glory of God, and there's another thing we're working hard for the material gain. Material man has little time, or maybe has no room for Jesus. Verse 37 says, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I submit to you tonight, in 2021, there is far too great a thing that people are giving in exchange for their soul. You've heard the statement before, and I don't mean to be irreverent about it or inappropriate, but I've heard it said, some people, they sell their soul to the devil. Have you ever heard that? Unfortunately, that's a true statement. People do that. All for the material, all for the now, all for the bank account or the retirement. Nothing wrong with these things, but typically someone that is focused on material has no room for Jesus. I've talked to them before. I have this, this, and this. Why do I need God? Do you realize you have this, this, and this because of God? You would not be breathing if it were not for God. And I'm not maybe talking to any of you tonight. I would not be breathing. We would all have to say, we would not even be functioning. As soon as God wants me to stop breathing, I will. I'm not being unkind about death. It's obviously very close to us right now. And so, but again, I've talked to people. I have it all. What do I need, God? Why do I need church? Why do I need? You see, the material man, or the material mankind is what I'm saying. There's not much room for Jesus. In fact, sometimes there's no room. Secondly, go over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, I want you to think about that tonight. Do I have room for Jesus? Have you any room? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And let's look, if you will, please, at verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish," what? "It's foolishness. But unto us which are saved," think about it, are you saved? Maybe you think tonight, I don't even know what that word means. Well, we talk a lot about being saved here because it's in the Bible. To be saved means I know I'm on my way to heaven. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to naught and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the what? Wisdom of the world. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But of them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Look at that statement. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. In comparison, right? That's what it's saying. God is not foolish. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. We'll stop there. The material man has no room for Jesus. Secondly, most of the time, the intellectual man has no room for Jesus. That's why it says here that God's word is to the intellectual man most of the time. God's word is foolishness. What do you mean, faith? I have to see it to believe it. Right? That's what the intellectual would say sometimes. I'm not saying that intellectual people aren't Christians. There are a lot that are, praise the Lord. I'm just saying that many times it's difficult for them to find room for the simplicity of the gospel. It's not complicated enough. It's too simple. But in fact, their hands can't get on it. Their eyes can't see it. But we know that the Word of God even says faith is not sight. Someday our faith will become sight. Praise the Lord for that. So the intellectual man has a lot of the time has no room for Jesus. This is an interesting one. Turn over to John 5. We got a motor on here. Turn over to John 5. Have you any room? John 5, please, in verse number 17. The Bible says, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. What? The Jews sought the more to kill him? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his what? Father, making himself equal with God. You know, the third group of people tonight, a lot of the times, that don't have any room for Jesus are the religious people. Now, we've got to reach all three of these, by the way. We've got to go after and reach the material man. We've got to go after and reach the intellectual man. And we've got to go after and reach the religious man. But a lot of times it's very difficult for the religious people, even in 2021, to make room for Jesus. When you start to explain the things about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came and was born and on it goes, and you start to say, look, here's what the Bible says, and it many times it goes back to, well, I'm this, and they may say, well, I'm Catholic. By the way, God loves Catholic people. I want you to know that. God loves Catholic people. In fact, he loves Catholic people as much as he loves Baptist people. Hey, God loves Anglican people. And you could go right on down the line and name all the denominations. God loves Muslims. Come on now. God loves Muslims as much as God loves you. But no religion is going to take you or me to heaven. Many times people that are steeped in the religion, even steeped in like something like Catholicism, they say, well, I'm Catholic, you know, Mama was Catholic and Grandma was Catholic and Great-Grandma was Catholic, so I'm Catholic. I'm not criticizing Catholic people. And by the way, we should never talk unkindly about any people. That's not Christ-like. But a lot of times, religious people have no room for Jesus. I ask you tonight, have you any room? So who has room for Jesus? Let's go to James 4. Who has room for Jesus? Number one, the humble man. The humble man. Look at James chapter number 4, and I'm speaking about mankind, okay? James chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will happen? He shall lift you up. The humble man or the humble lady recognizes when they see something, they recognize, okay, you know what? I've been going the wrong way the whole time, and now I see the right way. The humble man or the humble individual says, okay, enough of the wrong way. I'm going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go the right way. Then that person's making room. They have plenty of room. They'll never, by the way, a humble person will never run out of room for Jesus. And he'll never run out of room for that person either. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's just a few pages over. Look at it quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What does the Bible say pride does? It gets us resisted. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the who? The humble. So tonight, if we want to have room for Jesus, we need to make sure that we are humble. When it's all about me, 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 there's no room for him, him, him. By the way, this is, I'm just kind of speaking to lost people and Christians at the same time in this. Just whatever God's doing in your heart, be willing to take it and just say, Lord, I need that. Many times I'm guilty of it being me, me, me. And when it's me, 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 there's no room for him. I've got to die to me every day. I've got to die to my will every day. I've got to die to my wants every day. A humble man has room for Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 16. The Bible says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I'd like to say tonight, the holy man has room for Jesus. The holy man. You know what we need? What does that mean? It means we need to make sure that we hate sin. We hate sin with a passion. We don't want anything to do with sin in our life. And if there's sin in our life tonight, then we would be willing, even in the invitation tonight, to confess that sin before God. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Psalm 66, 18. So the antithesis of a holy man is an unholy man, obviously. And so an unholy man, you know, you're praying and praying and praying, but you've got all this sin in your life, and God says, I don't hear you. But you know what he hears? He hears the humble cry of a sinner saying, forgive me. It goes back to humility. He hears that humble cry. The humble man, the holy man. You can jot down 1 Thessalonians 4, 7. One more. Look at Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 5. Right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The humble man has room. The holy man has room. Here's another thing to consider. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do, what's the next word? Hunger. Hunger. Somebody that hungers and thirsts will be filled. Thirdly, tonight, I truly believe that the hungry man, you say, I'm hungry right now. Can we go eat? No, I'm not talking about that hunger. But I know what relates, right? I know what words relate to me, too. You know what you'll do when you're hungry and you know it's about dinner time? You're going to do anything and everything possible to find food. When you're hungry, there's room for it. Think about it. It's a great application just to everyday living, right? When you get filled up on that Christmas lunch, and now you're, that's it. I can't eat anymore. Probably should have stopped before that. But anyway, you know what happens? You go and you take a walk around the block. Yesterday, Emma and I took a walk through the woods. Wow, white Christmas walking through the woods. Better do it when you can. Doesn't always happen. And the kids grow up fast. But you know what? When I got done with that, we walked for quite a while. When I got done with that, you know what? I was hungry again. And you know what you do? You go find some food. You know what? When you get in this book every day, the hungry man gets in this book every day, and guess what? There's room for Jesus when you're hungry. And you get filled up on the Word of God, and it's spiritual food to go on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday, and what happens? You get hungry again. And what happens is we open the book up again. And we say, okay, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. I'm hungry. And the Bible says that the hungry man, verse 6 there, they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Have you any room for Jesus? Well, I want to end with this verse, and it's in John's Gospel chapter 6. John's Gospel chapter 6. Thank you for listening. John's Gospel, chapter 6. I've used and quoted this verse numerous times. Maybe not with the reference, because I may have forgotten it when I quoted it. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, notice the difference between this verse and Luke 2:7. This verse says, all that come to me, doesn't say I have room for them, but it says I have room for them. It says I will in no wise cast them out. You go back with me to Luke chapter 2, and there's Joseph and Mary, and they're going to the inn. And the innkeeper says, no room. And he casts them out. I mean, what could he do? He didn't realize that 2,000 years later we were going to be talking about him. You should have found room, right? But I look at that and I think about me. I put myself into the place of the innkeeper, and I think all of these characters in the Christmas story, the birth of Christ story, we can look at every character and we can try to put ourselves in that place of them. Even Mary, even though I'm never going to give birth to a baby, hallelujah, but I can put myself in place of her and learn things. But this innkeeper, thinking about it, this innkeeper said, no room. Wonder how many times Jesus has came to me and I've said, no room. I wonder how many times God has brought something to me and I've been too preoccupied with whatever else, and I've been preoccupied with a temporal thing or whatever, and I've said, maybe not with these words, but I've said with my actions, no room. But Jesus said in John 6, anyone that comes to me, everyone that comes to me, I'll never tell them there's no room. He said, I will in no wise cast them out. I wonder tonight, have you any room? Here's the good news. Jesus, God's Son, has room for you. And by the way, even as a child of God, Jesus will always have room for us. Well, what if I make a mistake? What if I sin? Join the club. We all do. I'm not saying we should just continue in that sin. No, that Bible says don't do that. Do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? But don't let the devil beat you up over a sin in your life. Confess it, move on, forsake it. And Jesus has room for sinners too. He will in no wise cast you out. I wonder tonight, could there be someone here and could there be someone online that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you died right now, if you died next week, if you died next year, by the way, that's only a few days away. You say, Pastor Ben, I have no idea when I'm going to die. But do you know when you die where you're going? Because once you die, it's too late for you to say, okay, now I want to make room for Jesus. No. The time you make room for Jesus is right now. And in fact, it's not just you make a little bit of room for him. You give him your entire heart. That's what salvation is. It's not taking Jesus and adding him to other gods in my life. It's taking Jesus and he is it. I love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when I have him, I don't have room for anything else. We have to review that from time to time, don't we, even as Christians? Because even things come into our life and we give room to the enemy and we give room to the flesh and we give room to whatever. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, no, there's no room in here for them. Out. Don't give any room. The Bible says don't give any place, right? I think it says neither give place to the devil. Don't do that. I ask you tonight, have you any room? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We'll have an invitation here in just a moment. There's a hymn. I don't think it's in our Anchor Baptist hymn book. I don't know if it's in this one or not. I didn't look, but it's public domain, so I found it online. It's beautiful song. And that's the title of the song, Have You Any Room for Jesus? Room for Jesus, King of Glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinners, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified? Not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any room for Jesus as in grace he calls again? Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of Glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Have you any room for Jesus?